our study. Glad you're here tonight. Got a good group. We'll begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor there that shall rule my people Israel.' When he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." This passage here in Matthew chapter 2, and of course the passage over in Luke chapter 2, make up what we know as the Christmas story from the biblical standpoint. Over the course of time and much tradition, some of the story, the way it is portrayed during the Christmas season, is really not accurate with Scripture, okay? And a case in point being the wise men, or what we call the Magi. There were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so tradition has come about that there were three wise men. There's nothing to indicate that there was just three wise men. In fact, it's more likely that there were many more, perhaps an entire entourage with these magi, okay? And when they arrived at Jerusalem, the idea is, in today's nativity scenes, is that they arrived immediately after the birth of Jesus, and he's still lying in the manger, and was just a tiny infant. And the reality of it is, it was probably a good while after his birth. Now, we don't have any way of knowing, but I want you to notice verse 11 says, "When they were come into the house." That word "house" is simply what we know it to mean. It means dwelling. Abode and home are the meanings of this word. Residence. Okay, and so he was they had been there long enough in Bethlehem that they had probably rented them a place. Not likely they bought anything, okay, but set up house together. So that tells us that that it was not as we see it portrayed in the nativity scenes of the day. And so these are inconsistencies. They're really harmless, I suppose, but it sure doesn't hurt for us to recognize them for what they are. The term "wise man" is used here regarding these men. Now, we use the term "magi," or we hear that term used. That's not a biblical term, but it describes a class of people that you find throughout the Old Testament. The class of people would have been a highly educated, much learned men that were put in positions where they were called upon by the leaders, the kings and such, the powers that be, to give counsel. You find one case in point would be back in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, and he called upon the Magi, all the wise guys, all the smart guys, all the guys that normally can solve problems and give counsel, and they couldn't interpret the dream. And we know that the prophet Daniel came on the scene, and of course he was able to interpret the dream, and then he was elevated to a position that really wouldn't have been anything short of head Magi, okay? Now, so you kind of get the idea. The Eastern Magi, for centuries, had been associated with learning, especially astronomy, astrology, mathematics, science, agriculture, history, all of these things. They were just the brains of the day. Okay, and this had gone on for centuries. And, of course, that's the kind of men that are being referred to today in this text as wise men. But they were not kings, okay? We sing the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," and I don't know the rest of it, but you know the song. Many times when you see the nativity scene, they're in garb that would remind you of kingly garb or princes or garb, princes and things of that nature, but they would not have been kings, okay? They were probably very influential, just powerful advisors to kings, but they themselves would not have been kings at all. And though they were not Jews, these were probably from Persia. That we don't know that from the east of there would have been Persia. They weren't Jewish, we know that. But they had a tremendous knowledge of Judaism and influence of Judaism. That very well influence of the Old Testament prophets, and that influence could have very well went all the way back to the days of Daniel when he was elevated to that position of the head guy there in under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. We don't know that, but we know this. These wise men, these particular ones, had some kind of godly influence, because when they came to locate the Messiah, it was more than just out of curiosity so they could go back and report the news and make headlines. It says that they came to worship him. Notice the last part of verse 1. It says, "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Okay, and so this particular set of Magi for sure had some godly influence in their life. They wanted to meet the Messiah. And notice the first word in verse 2 says, they came saying. That word implies continuous action. In other words, when they got to Jerusalem, it suggests that they were going around inquiring, trying to find out, hey, where is this one born King of the Jews? And they were trying to find some answers to locate this particular person, the Messiah. And, of course, nobody seemed to have any answers for them. They were kind of on their own, with the exception of God's leadership through the star. Now, folks, I always am very cautious to say I know something when I don't know something, and I certainly do not know the dynamics of this star. I don't know that anybody actually knows for sure what was involved, but we know it was something, some sort of a light or star that directed them. It's not clear to us. It may not have been a literal star, because the term that's rendered star here is a Greek term that is also used in other places, just representing a radiant light, a brilliant light of some sign, of some type, okay? And so it's possible that there was some sort of appearance of a glorious, great light that is used by God to lead them and direct them first to Jerusalem, and then ultimately we see that they end up in Bethlehem. We just don't know. We do know this, that there was at least on one other occasion in the Old Testament, God used a radiant light to lead his people, and that was when he was bringing the Jews, Israel, out of Egypt. He led them by a pillar of fire, or a brilliant light, if you will, by night, and then, of course, a cloud by day. And so, again, we don't know for sure. It doesn't matter. God's word says there was a light of some kind, and we know it worked, and it got them to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, we encounter another character in this story. We find him in verse 3. It says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, Herod has stepped onto the scene. And he is he's a bad guy. We know that. All the Herods were bad guys. All his relatives that had ruled and would rule after him. He was not concerned about finding a Messiah. All of his actions here are politically motivated. He had concerns about his own throne. Is the reason he stepped onto the scene here. All the scuttlebutt being rumored about these wise men having come from the east, arriving in Jerusalem, seeking the king of the Jews, all of this he would have perceived as a threat to his throne. But the text tells us there in verse 3 that he was troubled, but all of Jerusalem with him was troubled. And the question for that is why? Well, it's very likely that they were probably troubled over Herod being troubled. This guy had a horrible track record of being irrational in his behavior. And so it's very likely that seeing his agitation and his great concern of who is this king of the Jews kind of attitude is probably they were just fearful because of his track record of knee-jerk reactions and violence. They probably thought, you know, hey, what's going to happen next over this? And that's probably the trouble that the populace of Jerusalem was experiencing, just kind of on edge, wondering what Herod might do next, okay? And as we see, we'll see, their concern was well-founded. Only it would not be their bloodshed that they saw. Ultimately, it would be the bloodshed of those in Bethlehem, and we'll get to that story a little bit later when Herod puts that plan into action. But first, Herod would have been, as the leader, he would have known Jewish beliefs. He would have been familiar with Jewish customs. Not being a Jew himself, still, that's his constituents, he would have known who to go to. And he would have expected that the scribes and the priest would have some answers in helping him locate this one supposedly that would be the king of the Jews. And so he calls together in verse 4 and 5. It says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." So he knew that they would likely, the religious leaders, would likely have some idea based on prophecy where the Messiah would be born. And they did. It's very interesting that the religious leaders here knew the answer to his questions. He asked, where is this Messiah you're expecting going to be supposedly going to be born? And they say Bethlehem, but they show no interest. Man, I'm so tongue-tied. They show no interest in what's taking place. The Magi, the questions about the King of the Jews. You would think that would have alerted them to saying, "Hey, is our Messiah coming? Is there something happening here?" You know, there's no indication in Scripture that says that they got alarmed at all. They just answered his question, went on about their business, and it kind of shows how blind and apathetic the religious world had come when Jesus came on the scene. And of course, we see it all the way through to the crucifixion. They said they were expecting the Messiah, but they literally were wearing blinders. They didn't want the kind of Messiah that was to come, and they looked past Jesus and went about their business. Now, in verse 6, it says they tell him he's going to come from Bethlehem, and it says this is the text they're referring to out of Micah, "And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall put." Oh my word! I'm just having a horrible time here. Let me read this again from the start. Bear with me. I apologize. It says, "And thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now everybody applaud, because I got all the way there. Thank you. I can read. Okay, that is a quote, or not a not. It's not word for word quote, but it is a scripture that comes out of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. So now Herod, having learned from prophecy the location of the birth of the Messiah, now all he needs to know from the wise men is when, okay? His attention now is directed back towards the Magi. And in verse 7, it says, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." See, he knows the location now. Bethlehem's where I'm shooting for. If I'm going to find this threat to my throne, Bethlehem's the place. Now I've got to determine when this child was born so I can go take care of him. Herod has absolutely no interest at all in the meaning or significance of these events. He, under pretense, he comes to the Magi as if he was concerned, had spiritual concerns or whatever. But he's like so many people throughout history, really. His idea was, is this Jesus is going to mess my plans up. That was his concern, when he really should have been saying, hey, how do I need to respond to this Jesus? What's the appropriate course of action if he is truly the Messiah? That's not Herod, okay? Herod just wants to know when the star appeared, because if he knows the date, the birthday, so to speak, and obviously they wouldn't be precise, but if he knows when this star, whatever it may be, appeared and indicated to the Magi that the King of the Jews was born, if he knows when that took place, if he can take that coupled with the fact that it happened in Bethlehem, then he can put his plan into action. And it really is going to boil down to just going in there and taking care of and putting his plan into action and having the child killed. But before he does anything, he really wants the Magi to do the homework. Okay, notice verse 8. It says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, search out diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." We know that's a lie, okay? But he lies to the Magi, and what he's really desiring is for them to go to Bethlehem and find this baby. Get his address, fellas, and then pass that on to me. And when that takes place, all I've got to do is go in and murder one child. That's his plan. Of course, we know that that's not the plan that got carried out, because the Magi got word from God. We'll look at that later. They were warned of God. Verse 12 tells us not to return to Herod, but to go about their business and head back to Persia in the east, okay? And they did so. So what ended up taking place is, we find out, and we'll look at this later, is he doesn't get Joseph and Mary's address. He doesn't know exactly or very precisely at all when the star appeared, which would indicate the birth of the child. And so he goes in and reveals just how evil he really is. And it ends up being mass murder of multiple hundreds, if not thousands, of babies in that geographical area. Okay. Sorry, I stumbled so greatly through that. It did not come together. The study took me probably 2 hours longer than it normally does, and it was tough again tonight. I'm not sure why, but that's all right. We get another shot next Wednesday, and if y'all have me back, everybody take a vote on that. Can I come back Wednesday? Okay. Thank you. I'll do better. I promise. Let's stand and be dismissed.